Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Amen. It happened only once a year. Only once a year, but that made it all the more special. Once a year, one man got to serve the Lord and God's people in a very special way and in a very special place. One day a year, the high priest would put on a clean white garment like this. And that garment symbolized the fact that he represented all the people, all the Israelites, from the least to the greatest. On that one day, the high priest was acting as every man. And then what he would do, he would take a bowl full of blood from a bull that he had just sacrificed, and he would walk into the inner room of the temple. And you see it there on the far right. That's the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And he would take that bowl of blood into the heart of the temple. And only one person, once a year, was allowed to go into that room of the temple. Nobody else was ever allowed. Just the high priest, just once a year. Behind that curtain. But he would go, and he would then work his way out to the outside courtyard. Very gradually. And he would cleanse the temple from the inside out by sprinkling blood on the various parts and rooms of the temple. And you can see why, it makes sense why he would have to do this. Because this is the very place where God dwells with his people. It must be holy. It must be a fitting place for the Lord to dwell with his people and for his people to dwell with him and serve him. It must be cleansed of the contamination of Israel's sins. And so that's what the high priest would do. He'd cleanse the temple from the inside out, from the Holy of Holies, far right, all the way out to the holy place, and then to the outer courtyard. And then he would offer other sacrifices outside on the altar for his own sins and the sins of the people. One year, though, this happened. The high priest went into that most holy place, but this time not into the replica, not the one made out of stone in Israel. This time the high priest went into the real most holy place, the very heart of heaven, the temple of heaven, the tabernacle that is the real tabernacle. And he took his own priceless blood in there, and he sacrificed himself for every man, for all of the world's sins. And it's as if at that time then he sprinkled his blood everywhere, on everything. Back at the replica, back at the stone temple in Israel, this was being reflected in real time. Because the curtain tore that separated the holy place from the most holy place. The curtain tore and opened wide that most holy place that only one person could go in every year once. Because in heaven, Jesus had torn wide open heavens for all to enter. His sacrifice had opened heaven once and for all. Jesus is the great high priest. And that priceless blood of Jesus sprinkled everything. Now there's no need for this stone temple, this replica. Now there's no need for the blood of bulls. There's no need for the man who sprinkled them once a year. Because the once for all sacrifice has taken place. There's no need for that once a year day. And Jesus' blood, scattered and everywhere and sprinkled everywhere, now has cleansed you and me from the inside out. And that means we are in the priests, every one of us. And we serve in the temple that is God's vast world. The Holy of Holies has been thrown and flung wide open. Friends, Jesus' presence not only fills that inner room of a man-made temple, but it fills the world. So wherever you go in faith, you are his priest. serving in his holy presence. And this all because his holy blood has made it so. This is the freedom, friends, that we want to consider today. Now, this truth that sets us free, it might sound kind of like the freedoms we've talked about in the last couple weeks. We talked about how we're free from sin and free to serve. We're free from laws and we're free to love. But, you know, this freedom that we're going to talk about today is an extension. It flows from those two. We're going to take it a step further. Today, we're going to talk about this freedom that God gives us to serve him in ways that are surprising and in places that are surprising and in times that are surprising. In our lesson from Colossians, the Apostle Paul gives to us something that is one of the most underrated truths that sets us free, one of the more underappreciated truths of God's Word that many people don't even realize is true. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us today the teaching of vocation. So here's what he says. He says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Notice Paul commands slaves to obey their masters in everything. And later, a couple verses later, he tells masters to treat their slaves with fairness, to be fair and right with them. But notice here, this is what we don't want to miss. We don't want to miss the why behind it all. Why slaves should treat should obey their masters in everything. Paul says, the reason is this. Whenever slaves or anybody does their duty, they not only serve their earthly masters well, but they serve the Lord well. Here's how that's reflected in what Paul says. He says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with reverence for the Lord. And do your work as working for the Lord." And here's how he wraps it all up with a nice tidy bow. He says, "It is the Lord Christ you are serving." This is a game changer. This puts a whole other spin on the jobs and the work that we do, the vocations that we fill in our lives. Depending on what research you look at and consult, here's a statistic about job satisfaction, and this is quite a range. 29 to 95%, somewhere in there is the correct percentage. Somewhere between 29 and 95% of working Americans do not enjoy the work that they do. That's a lot. At least that 95 end. They don't find meaning. They don't find purpose in the work that they do. To them, their work life, so to speak, is separate from what they would consider their real life. They punch the clock at their work life so that they can leave and go home to their real life. They put in their time at the job that they fulfill only so that they can earn enough money to be free to live their real life away from their work life. This is a sad thing, but sadly, many people consider their work to be slavery, drudgery, a necessary evil. But do you see, friends, what the Lord does here? He brings dignity and honor and nobility even to the lowliest tasks that people might perform in their jobs. Paul is writing to literally slaves here, telling them that when they serve their masters well, that they are also serving the Lord well. If they have any reverence for Jesus, their Savior, then that reverence is shown to Jesus and received by Jesus when they simply carry out their earthly callings with care. That's a game changer. And friends, this applies to you and to the earthly callings that you have. Whether that be at your workaday life, that job that you do well, home life is a way actually that God is served when you do your job well. In your home life, being the best husband or wife you can be, the best father or mother, son or daughter, sister or brother, that is a way that you actually perform good works of praise to God. God loves it when his children carry out their callings with care. And this is a truth that sets us free because, you know, sometimes Christians and sadly Christian churches place unnecessary burdens on people when it comes to their work and work for the church. Sometimes we get this mistaken impression that the real good works, that the real way that we serve God has to be when we're sharing our faith or when we're doing something in a religious capacity connected to the church. But this is the truth that sets us free here. God is served and God is pleased when we simply carry out our everyday callings with care. No matter what that calling is, electrician, plumber, CPA, street sweeper, computer programmer, whatever it is, as long as it's not immoral or goes against God's word. Now, Martin Luther had a lot to say about the doctrine of vocation. And if you think about some of the errors he was combating in his time, it makes a lot of sense. Here's a quote from him about the vocation of a shoemaker. Here's what Luther says. He says, "What God wants from a Christian shoemaker is well-made shoes, not shoes with little crosses on them. When we simply do our jobs well, when we take our vocations, our earthly calling seriously, God is pleased. And you might say, that's what makes the world go round." Another thing that Luther, another way that he tried to explain and express this doctrine of vocation was this. He said, "Through our vocations, we become the masks of God. God hides behind us and our work to provide for both believers and unbelievers throughout our world." That's a truth that sets us free. Here's another quote from Luther that's kind of memorable. "God milks the cows through the calling of the milkmaids." You take that quotation and apply that to every one of your vocations. God milks the cows through the calling of the milkmaids. God does this through the calling that he has given me in my everyday life. Here's how one of my seminary professors put it. He says, "Through my vocation, I take my place between God and my neighbor and become a conduit through which divine blessings reach others." Friends, are you starting to see the dignity and the honor that it is to have a vocation? Whether that vocation is something you get paid for or that you don't, whether it's something you clock in for or that you're kind of always on the job for. You're starting to see how this is another one of those truths that sets us free. Because, friends, every one of us is a priest of the Lord, set free to serve him in this vast sanctuary that we call his world. We worship him and we praise him by simply doing our vocations well. Not necessarily by praying or singing hymns on the job, though that's a cool thing. Simply by doing our jobs well. No matter how mundane the task, no matter how seemingly unimportant your job might be, we are free to perform these good works to God by simply being a fair employer. Or a faithful employee, by being a grateful child or a loving parent, a supportive sibling, or a good friend. This is a truth that sets us free. I'm free to love right where I live. I don't need to be in church or connected to the church to do good works to God. God says, love where you live. Now, that's not to necessarily discourage volunteerism in the church. We definitely want to do that. There's plenty of volunteer vocations for people to fill in our church as well. But you know, as much as this is a truth that sets us free, the more that I think about my various vocations God has called me to, the more it becomes an indictment of how I've failed at each of them in some way and so often. Because, you know, often, just in my mind, in my perspective of them, I've compartmentalized the things that I do and the roles that I fill into the sacred versus the secular, the stuff that I do that's church-related as the stuff that I do just to put food on my table and pay for my shoes, as if one is somehow more pleasing to God, as if one is somehow more holy to God. But isn't it all holy if God is the one who's called me to every one of them? And isn't it all holy when through them I can serve God and do good to my neighbor? But there's times when I've treated these holy callings like they were profane and common. I've undervalued these vocations and these roles the Lord has given me, failing to understand that He hides behind me. His mask. And that He helps the world through that calling of mine. Husband, father, son, brother, friend, citizen, pastor, godparent, neighbor. The longer the list of the vocations that I come up with, the longer the list of my shortfallings in all of them. Because the more I think about it, the more I have inhabited these vocations for my own sake, without regard for and without an eye toward how I serve God in them and how I can do good to my neighbor. I've sometimes viewed them with drudgery. I've sometimes dreamed of doing something different, forgetting the fact that right before me is a neighbor to love and a Savior who smiles every time I do so. Those words that from our verse of the day become all the more convicting when I think about this, because Jesus says, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of one of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. It's true, this is a truth that sets us free. And yet, with all my failings in all of these vocations that the Lord has given me, the Lord has every right to enslave me forever in the torment of hell. But friends, to live under the continual burden of my missed opportunities in my vocations is to enslave myself over again. It's good to be reminded. It's good to recognize how I've failed. But it's also good to recognize how my Lord has succeeded, because He nailed every one of His vocations. Son, brother, carpenter, cousin, teacher, friend, true high priest and Savior. And His blood covers over me entirely. And His wretched cross saves me. And His open tomb sets me free. All of my failings are forgiven in Him by His blood. And that blood that Jesus has sprinkled over me never runs dry and it never fades away. He has forever wrapped me in His robe of righteousness. He calls me holy. He calls me His very own. And He calls me to be the mask that He wears as He works in His world. Husband, father, son, brother, pastor, godparent, friend, citizen, neighbor. And that brings new life and new vitality into these everyday callings, ordinary and mundane as they may be. It brings new meaning to those words that Paul wrote to the Colossians when he said, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Friends, the Lord has called me and he has called you to these various vocations in life. To serve him and to help our neighbor. And this is yet another one of those truths that sets us free. I'm free to love right where I live. Amen.